Good morning, everyone, or as I usually say most every Sunday, buenos días, ¿cómo están todos? I picked up this Bible a few years ago, and it's a bilingual Bible. English, KJV, Spanish, Reina Valera. And over the last 40-plus years, I have probably preached or taught maybe 70% of the time in Spanish. So don't be surprised if I lapse suddenly or read the wrong side of my Bible. That could happen too. Judy and I are just so glad to be with you today. Enjoyed the service. My goodness, I love the old church hymnal songs, the old Stamps Factor Convention songs, kind of what I grew up on. And I appreciated the specials that Josh brought. Those are good. And of course, I love to hear my sweet wife sing. She doesn't sing much anymore. Now that we're all older, and if you knew us back in 1991, 92, most of you are now very old like us. Josh being the exception, and maybe Becky and a few others, because Josh wasn't even 10 years old when we were here. And I'll tell you what, when you get together like that, we're kind of like old soldiers when they get together at a reunion of, your veterans of the past, and all they can do is just come out with war story after war story, military. Well, we get together, my health, my aches, my pains. Isn't it true, folks? So I guess that ought to make us think about home a lot more. But not only that, it ought to make us think about the church that we still, to this day, get to be a part of. I want to read a verse, and I'm going to go all over the place. I don't make too many excuses anymore or apologize too often. I can get away with pretty much anything now at my age. So, don't just hang in there. Buckle your seatbelts. You know, we're getting ready to take off. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 21, 20 and 21. One of those glorious doxologies of the Apostle Paul. And, of course, there are a few that even match it. It's just one of the great ones. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and maybe others as well, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church." Camp on that phrase. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So today I come to you to bring you hopefully a word from the Lord for the people of God who make up Fellowship Free Will Baptist Church, who today celebrate this homecoming and your 75th anniversary, having been organized or started in 1949. Folks, in 1945-49, I wasn't even here yet. I wasn't born until the next year. So to God be the glory, and may He give glory to His church. Now I want to bring in another passage because I think it's so appropriate for this occasion. And you'll know these verses, I'm sure, and Psalm 90, the psalm that's known as Moses' psalm. Moses, the man of God. The only psalm attributed to Moses in all the Bible. He wrote a lot of stuff, of course. We know he wrote the first five books, the Pentateuch. But this psalm is attributed to Moses. And listen, you've heard this before. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Wow. From everlasting to everlasting. Isaac Watts, the great songwriter from 300 years ago, in 1708, took this Psalm 90 and paraphrased it, and he wrote that glorious classic old church hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our refuge in the stormy blast, and our eternal home. There's that word again, home. Our hope for years to come, our shelter in the storm, our eternal home. You see, it is true. I don't want you to miss this. We're talking about the anniversary, the homecoming of a church. We're talking about 75 years. What seems like a long time, but I seriously doubt if any of us that I knew back in 91 when we came here as a family, I doubt that any of us are going to be here in 25 years when Fellowship celebrates its 100th anniversary. Any of that group, we're not going to be here then. We'll be long gone, most of us. If you do make it, you'll be well over 100. Think about that when you can't sleep at night. And God, listen, God has been our refuge throughout all these generations. For Moses and the people of Israel, it was forever. He was the creator. He was the sustainer. He was the liberator from Egypt. He was the guide in the wilderness wanderings. He was the victorious warrior who would lead them to the promised land. And he'd been their refuge throughout all generations. And he's ours too, by the way. He's ours. And he wants to give glory in his church by Christ Jesus. And he means that for you. Because you see, folks, both in our lives as individuals, because we're either saved or lost, we're either God's child or we're not, we're either his disciple or we're following after the evil one. Hopefully we're all today followers of Jesus. If you're not saved, I hope today would be the day of your new birth. That you would come into a personal saving relationship with Jesus that would change you forever. It could happen today for you. But most of us here have walked with the Lord now for some time. But get this, both in this church and in our individual lives, God is doing all this stuff I've been talking about. We actually hold dual membership in the church. We hold dual membership. You're a member of Cofer Chapel. No, you're not. I am. You're a member of Fellowship, Free Will Baptist Church, Kingsport, Tennessee, here in Bloomingdale. I can still remember a few things about living here. But you're also, as a Christian, a member of the Church Universal. That heavenly body whose names are written in heaven. Both the local church and the universal, invisible church. God's building a church, as the old song said. And Jesus, my friend, loves the church. He loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. And that's the universal church, of course, made up of every true believer, regardless of denominational label. That'll mean nothing in heaven. There'll be no denominations up there, just the people of God. But he also has made you a part of a local church. And by the way, that's very important to him. I'll say more about that as we go along. That's very important to God that you be rightly related with a local fellowship of believers. Now, the pastor talked and he suggested to me, he didn't tell me exactly what I had to preach, but he threatened me if I didn't say the right thing. No, he didn't. I'm kidding. We just met yesterday. We've just met yesterday. Hit it off pretty good, I think. But he talked about gratitude for what, to God for what he's done in the past. What an occasion this is to look back. And some of you can look pretty far back. Others of you look at us old people and you see tears in our eyes. You see us hugging. What is with these old people? Listen, we better have a sense of history. We'd better look back and show God how grateful we are for how he has led us all this way. And the history of Fellowship Church since 1949, well, I even learned a few things in preparing for this. I didn't know all the pastors. Obviously, I wouldn't even have known when you started. And neither were any of you, I don't suppose. A few may have been born, but I doubt anybody was a member of that original group. If you were, I'd like to see your hand. Didn't think so. But back when my pastor came to Swannanoa, and I was 11 years old, almost 11, he would reference somebody he'd met up here in East Tennessee. And he talked to everybody a lot. Apparently, they got together for church conferences and things. He said, yeah, there is a preacher up there in East Tennessee. He's several years older than me, but wow, what they call him the walking Bible, Frank Thompson. He can quote scripture like nobody you've ever seen before. And he has all these really cool sermons. And so I actually took one of them and put it in Spanish. One that he called from the book of Judges, when Lefty killed Fatty, Ehud kills the king of Moab, Eglon, and sticks a knife into his fat and kills him. When Lefty killed Fatty, and Frank Thompson had a reputation, and my pastor talked about him a lot to us there at the church. I thought that was just extremely fascinating. And then along comes, in the late 50s, Brother Winston Sweeney, who you realize, don't you, actually served this church for over half of his existence. More than the rest of them combined. Yes, sir. And we knew Brother Winston and a friend of his here, that Jim Cox, whom you know, Brother Jim, who attended the church some, has preached here many times. And Brother Jim called Brother Sweeney Bishop Sweeney. Bishop Sweeney. I know we Free Will Baptists had bishop, but if we did, Brother Sweeney would have been a good one, wouldn't he? Bishop Sweeney. And later, guys that I know personally, been around a whole lot, like Jeff Davis and Brother Bob Lewis. Now, I think, Pastor, that actually the oldest living former minister, it ain't Jeff Davis. I think it's Bob Lewis. That dude is as old as me. He's as old as dirt. We both up there. Well, I've got him by a year or so. But yeah, I think Bob's probably the oldest living former pastor, but Jeff was here before he was. Well, 1991 and 92, as Judy said at the beginning, when they lived here and they were here every time the door was open, I was only here rarely because I had to be on the road, was a very special time for us, and we're grateful for all the church did to help us. We're very grateful as a family for that. So be grateful for your past. Treasure it deep in your hearts. But also be grateful for the present. And realize that it may not be like it used to be. It seldom is, by the way. Things will change. They must change. They do change. But be grateful for your present. One mountain person said in the book that Catherine Marshall wrote about the young school teacher who went from Asheville over to what's now Cock County, Tennessee, there in the heart of the mountains. And the book is called Christie. You probably heard that story. And the mountain people taught her this lesson. It's today I must be living. It's today that I must be living. As the Latins say, carpe diem, seize the day. You can't live in the past. You're not yet in the future. It's today you must be living. Bill and Gloria Gaither expressed it so beautifully when they said, we have this moment to hold in our hand and touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. So live the moment. You say, but oh, there's so much pain today. The past seems like a time that I was in a fairyland, a paradise, so much joy. You just don't remember the bad stuff. There's always been bad. And sometimes circumstances just about do us in. I know you pray much for Bob and Brenda as they wait and be as close as they can to Tim and Jessica there in Utah. And we all read and we all keep up with the story of little Levi and what a battle that little trooper has fought. That's not something anybody would want for their child, to have cancer, to be ill. We've all faced circumstances. It makes it hard to seize the day, to walk in the present, and yet that's exactly what God wants us to do. So be grateful for your present, and then be grateful for the future. Because contrary to proper belief, God's not dead, nor is he ill. He's on his throne, and he's reigning, and he's still going to be doing stuff in the future, because it's his nature as a God who rules and reigns to continue working till he's wrapped all this up and taken his people home to be with him. Revelation 11:15 says, and the kings of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. That's what Handel took and wrote the Hallelujah Chorus from, and the great work, the Messiah. So be grateful for the past, the present, and the future. And that means everybody. You old folks, don't always just be looking back. You young people, don't dismiss the past as unimportant. Let's live for the past. Let's remember the past, live in the present, and anticipate the future. Praise God. A couple words I want you to think about as we go along. And one of them you'll recognize immediately, the other you may not. The two words I want you to remember, and write them down if you want to, are sovereignty and serendipity. The word sovereignty resonates. You know what I'm saying. God rules, God's authority, he's in control. Ultimately, everything's under his control. He said, I am God and there is no other. There is no God beside me. Isaiah 45:5. That's absolutely true now and forever. He is God. He rules and reigns. He is totally sovereign. But you probably never heard the word serendipity or serendipitous. And that's okay. It's kind of what it is, they say, is an occurrence or a development of events by chance in a happy or beneficial way. I dare say most of you never heard that word before. Something that brings us happiness by surprise. We're not expecting it. A lot of people would call it luck, but the Christian calls it the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. For the believer, it's not luck. Get that word out of your sight, out of your vocabulary. We don't believe in luck. We believe it when good things happen, like the serendipity people say, when you see a rainbow when you weren't expecting one. When somebody you've not seen 30 years, you have a chance encounter, it brings you so much happiness. Those are serendipitous things. But the child of God understands. It's the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, I'm held in your love. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. God's sovereign and God's serendipitous. He loves us. And by the way, He never changes. So you can. You hear what I'm saying? We get frustrated. Oh, it's not like it used to be. I wish the good old days were back when so-and-so was leading the choir, when so-and-so was my Sunday school teacher, when my granny was still here and I still was young and could play on the softball team. But I want you to remember, dear one, God never changes, so you can. It's okay. It's okay. He is with you and He loves you. See, change comes on September 27th when Hurricane Helene swept through, coming north like had never been seen in over 100 years, maybe in 1,000 years. There's not been anything quite like it to affect East Tennessee, Irwin particularly, like it did. And my hometown, which is totally destroyed, Swannanoa, totally destroyed. My brother almost died when the trailer fell on his house, just missing him by inches. So Swannanoa Church, my home church, church I was saved in, the church I grew up in, is struggling now with what they're going through. Some of you have heard of those stories. Some of you know people who struggled through some of that stuff. So what are they going to do? They're going to change because God doesn't change. Or what if you're like our church back in St. Louis? For a long time, when people came to the big city for jobs from Arkansas and Southeast Missouri, Southwest Missouri, it was just full of people like us and sang the same kind of songs and had the same kind of church services. But then things changed. And one day they had to close the door because there were no people left. And the community had changed so much. And now there's no more Fourth Free Will Baptist Church, only memories. But God's still on the throne. God's still working in people's lives. He's not through with any of His children. Praise God. I am God, and there is no other. So be ready to change because God doesn't change. Remembering, He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. He'll never fail. He'll never be frustrated. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. Will His plan for fellowship 10 years down the road look like it did in 1960? I have no idea. But He's the same God, and if we follow Him, He'll not mess up, I promise. He'll lead you. And I personally believe He can still do great things through this church. So we live in a world, as the old hymn put it, where change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Abide with me, Lord. Stay with me. Now, I want to conclude by giving you some takeaways. Somebody said, are you a preacher or are you a teacher? And I said, well, maybe both, but I'm really more a teacher who likes to preach. I don't consider myself a preacher like some I've heard who are just great. So I teach and I do a little preaching along the way. I want to give you some takeaways. And I do believe these will help you. I think they're easy enough to remember. Number one, Fellowship Free Will Baptist Church, on this occasion of your 75th anniversary, celebrating a joyous homecoming, all of us together to speak, to shake hands, to hug, to eat, to enjoy the goodness and presence of God. Here's my takeaway, number one. Trust in Him who will not fail you. Whatsoever the years may bring, when by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. By the way, that's from the old song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Trust in Him who will not fail you. That's my best piece of advice. Trust Him for as long as you live, for as long as He gives you breath. Trust Him and walk closely, clinging to His hand. Number two, take the next logical step of faith and obedience. We don't always know what to do, especially as we get older and health's a problem and our minds aren't quite as sharp as they used to be. And we're just going through change after change, giving up a home, going into assisted living or whatever. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're either living it or you lived it just a few years back with your parents. So what do? You take the next step. You know who said that? A lady named Elizabeth Elliot, who was a missionary wife, and her husband Jim and four other guys got in a plane and flew there in Ecuador to this little island and landed. And they thought they had established a friendship with the Aka or the Wadani Indians, but the Wadani Indians didn't trust them. So they came up to the plane and they murdered those five missionaries. Some of you will remember that happened in 1956 when I was six. But out of that tragedy, Elizabeth Elliot continued to serve God. Even went back, as did one of the missionaries, Sister Rachel, to teach the people. And she saw God break through into that tribe and see even one of the murderers trust Christ. And now there's a lot of Christ followers in that village. But she said, Elizabeth said, take the next logical step. Just do what you know you can do. Get up, make a cup of coffee. Get dressed and take a walk. Call somebody on the phone. Do something! As opposed to not doing anything. Take the next step. I had a communique from a guy I went to high school with. I didn't know him. Well, I knew his younger brothers. But he was about 3 years older than me. When he graduated, he was drafted and sent straight to Vietnam. In Vietnam, he and his unit faced some heavy fire. He took bullets through his helmet. He was stunned, though not seriously wounded, and fell face down to the mud, laying there. The Vietnamese came by, thought he was dead. They didn't bother him further. Later on, his body was discovered. He was alive. And this man said, he wrote and told me, he said, when I was laying there thinking they would find me and would go ahead and kill me, it's like I could hear my Sunday school teacher's prayer back in church. And I know that Sunday school teacher, she was a dear, dear friend of mine. And I can just see her praying for one of her boys in her class. He came through it! Now he's 75, still serving Jesus, still living for the Lord. So take the next logical step of faith and obedience. Number three, preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. I have friends in Panama who work for Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. Some of the finest personal soul winners, evangelists, they supported churches. We had people who trained under them, became a part of our church in Panama. Some of our finest, hardest working members, always looking for ways to share Christ. Did you know that you don't have to be an ordained minister to preach the gospel? Anybody ever told you that? You don't have to have been 6 years to college and seminary. You don't have to have an ordination paper. You don't have to necessarily ever be up here in this pulpit to share with people what the power of God can do to transform their lives. Somebody said the best evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's like the blind man in John 9. I don't know much about him, whether he's good or bad. I don't really know anything. All I know is, once I was blind, and now I can see. Sometimes that's the best testimony, and you can be doing that. Are you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? When you may be the best evangelist, God will use in great ways. Rob Morgan wrote one time in his sermon, he said, what if the children of Israel had tried to part the Red Sea with their own buckets? What if Joshua had tried to pull down the walls of Jericho with his own fingers? What if Peter had tried to divide the lads' 5 loaves and 2 fishes into 5,000 tiny pieces with a small knife? They would have all failed. All of us will fail. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that can change a life. But we can be that instrument in the hand of God. Preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and let God take care of the results. So one more takeaway. One more. And I want to look you in the eye